I got something I want to talk to you about. I had a man yesterday that asked me a question. And the question was, he came here because of the healing school, and he had a friend that was 28 years old, and she was dying with cancer. Old woman. My first question was this: is she a Christian? He said, well, she says she is. I said, well, is she married? He says, no. I said, is she living with a man? He said, yes. I said, does he profess to be a Christian? He said, yes. So he said, I came to a healing school to try to figure out what I can do to help this 28-year-old woman that's dying with cancer. How many people do you know in the world that's living like that today? I had a man call me from Houston this last week. He said, I'm coming to the healing school, but I got a question about a man. Said a man that I know, a friend, he's 42 years old. He's in perfect health until he moved in with a woman that he's not married to. He divorced his wife, and she divorced her husband some time ago, and he moved in with her. He's 42 years of age. He was in perfect health until he moved in with her, and 6 months later, he has got terminal cancer of the tongue. What should I do? Can I go over and cast the devil out of him and pray for him? I said, you can't do a thing for him until he repents of sin. Isn't it amazing the number of people that are dying because of sickness and disease, and they say they're Christians, but they're not obeying God's word? I'm going to show you just from one little place. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to cover Romans 5 and 6 today, and I'm going to show you what God's word says about law and grace and freedom and what we're supposed to do. People misinterpret the word of God. They think because we're living in grace, we have the freedom to do everything we want to do. Let me tell you, that's not what the word of God says. I'm going to show you why people are sick today. I'm going to show it to you clearly. I'm going to show you why people die today. I'm going to show you from God's word. And if you listen to what the word of God says, you can't miss it. And this is just in one place. One place. And I'm going to start in Romans 5 after prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless us. I ask you to open our hearts to your word. I ask you to let us receive the truth of the word of God so we can go forth and be a light to those others that are out there that don't know it. That whenever they come down sick or afflicted, or before they come down sick or afflicted, when we see people sin and break your laws, we might go to them directly and tell them what they're doing wrong, and it's going to bring devastation in their life if they don't straighten up their act, if they are a professing Christian. Now, Father, I praise you and thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, and I've come to realize a lot of people don't know what the word faith means. I mean, I didn't know what faith was. I mean, I was a Southern Baptist. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 11 years old, and I believed just enough by faith to believe that I really was saved. But it wasn't a very strong faith, I'll tell you for sure, at 11. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We think that because of what God done for us through His Son, Jesus, we have been made at peace with God, and that gives us the right to live however we want to. We don't have to go to church if we don't want to. We don't have to tithe if we don't want to. There's not going to be any consequences to breaking God's rules. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. That is not true. Too many people have swallowed that lie. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 3 and 4. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Oh, let me ask you the question. How many of you, when you come to me with a problem, how many of you are jumping at my dad, I praise God, Pastor, that I've had a trial this week? No, you're coming to me grumbling and complaining. You're not coming to me praising God that you just went through another trial or test. You're fussing. James chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to see what it says. James chapter 1, verse 2. I want us to turn there and we'll come right back here to Romans 5. James chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to see what this says. James 1, 2. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, oh, I know none of us ever have troubles. We don't ever have troubles, do we? Do you ever have troubles, Nancy? You do. You mean you're a unique Christian. You have troubles. You have one once in a while, Eldon? Well, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Ooh. We don't do that well. Do we, Terry? We don't jump up and down and praise God. Because what this is doing is developing my faith. It's causing me to build endurance. I don't want to hear that part. You know, I mean, good grief, anybody knows that whenever something goes wrong, what do you do about it? You grumble and complain about it. That's what you do. I mean, that must be what the scripture says because that's what we all do. If it don't go just exactly like you want it, you grumble and complain. That tells me right there that we don't know the scripture well enough. I remember the two weeks that Eldon and I worked together nearly every day. And every day we worked together, we had some kind of devastating problems happen. I mean, there was a two-week period there. We were at the end of the 2 weeks. I mean, we had troubles every day, and I had not grumbled and complained. And finally, the last day, I mean, we were trying to weld some stuff up in a building, and the welder broke. We had all kinds of problems with the welder that day. And when we finally got it all together and got it running, and I didn't grumble and complain, we fixed it and got it running, and I started to weld, and it wouldn't weld, and I realized that a wire had broken off of the main throttle and it wouldn't speed up, so it wouldn't weld. I finally told him, I said, well, let's just take that solenoid off and take it with us. And I said, let's just go home. He said, Thurman, you have been tested in the last 2 weeks beyond anything I've seen. He said, you've not grumbled and complained not one single time. He said, all you've done is rejoiced and praised God through all these trials and tests. He said, I think you passed your test this week. He said, I'm not God, but he said, if I was, I would say, Thurman, you have passed your test the last 2 weeks. Now, how many of you have been like me that you go through all these trials and tests and you grumble and complain about them instead of praising God every time something goes wrong? Well, I've done it right. So Eldon, whenever he said what he said, I said, okay, Lord. I said, I know I've got to have done something that didn't please you. Now, how many of you know you must have done something that God wasn't happy with? You know, we all have those guys. I said, Lord, if you'll please reveal to me what I have done that doesn't please you, I will do my best to change it. I said, thank you, Lord. And then I thought for a second, and I said, that's okay, God, forget it. Elder said, what do you mean? I said, I just realized I don't have a notepad and a pencil. And I'm sure the list would be so long that I wouldn't be able to remember them all. You know what I mean, Tom?
Yes, I do.
I said, so let's just forget it. And so we just loaded up and come home. And we just quit. But see, what does the scripture say when you go through all these various trials and tests? What are you supposed to do with them?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Because you're going through trials and tests. Well, we don't do that well. Let's go back to Romans 5. And then let's say he says, and we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confidence, expectations of salvation. How many of you would like to be strong in endurance?
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Whenever I think about my son, he was preparing to run a 12-mile run here a couple of Saturdays ago. And every day when I would come home, I'd meet him on the road out there running. One day I come by and he's running and I said, what are you doing, son? I said, I know you don't want to ride home. I know you're out here running. I said, he's running and I'm driving along beside him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm preparing to run a 12-mile run Saturday. I said, well, what mile are you on right now? He said, 13. I said, well, that's more than you got to run. He said, Dad, if I can make 13 here, I can make 12 on the track. See, that's endurance, isn't it? Now, what if he had run 10 miles and he'd have been, I can't go no further. He hadn't worked out enough, has he, Tom? But if he can make 13, he knows he can run that 12, right? That's kind of like the story I heard one time. A man had a great big watermelon. I mean, this thing was 30 pounds, you know, a big thing. And the guy said, man, that's the best looking watermelon. I said, I'd love to have that watermelon. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you can eat that whole watermelon, I'll give it to you. But if you can't eat it all, you're going to have to pay $5 for it. He said, well, I got to go home and do something first. So he went home. He's gone a couple hours. He come back and he ate that 30-pound watermelon. He said, you know, I got a question. What did you have to go home and do before you eat that watermelon? He said, well, I had a 50-pounder at home. I figured if I could eat that, then I could eat this 30-pound. Is that endurance?
Yeah.
He's practicing. He's going to make sure he ain't going to have to give that $5. Some of us need to get fat on the Word of God.
Amen.
That's our problem. That's been my problem. But I need to get fat on the Word. I need this endurance he's talking about here. Verse 5 and 6. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Do you think God really loves you? Just because he loves you, and this is what everybody says. God is a God of love. He would never hurt me. Yeah, he'll forgive me. I know I'm living in sin, or I'm lying a little, stealing a little, cheating a little, getting out and get drunk once in a while. I'm doing this or I'm doing that. But God loves me. He'll forgive me. Does God love you? Yes, he does love you. Is his love unconditional? Yes. But here's the kicker. His promises are not. His promises are conditional. You don't obey him, you don't get your answer when you pray. If you obey him, you get your answers when you pray. But God's love is unconditional, but his promises is not unconditional. You have to do what he says. And he has the power to release.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live a Triumphant Life, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.